The arrogance of man is thinking nature is in our control, and not the other way around. Let them fight.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Talking Smack, where we talk superheroes, movies, animation, comics, and much, much more. I am your host, Josh Scar, and joining me, as always, is everyone's favorite little furball that sits in your lap and then crushes you because he's a massive human-sized cat, is Alex. Alex, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic. I hid under the bed last night through all the thunderstorms, you know, as one does, and then woke up to the birds chirping and just did some caterwauling out the window for a while, and then it was great. What about you?
Oh, man, I've been up since like 1:30, essentially, because my oldest is auditorially sensitive. So thunder and big booms freak them out. And they woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning because they left their earmuffs at school because we had a thunderstorm while they were at school a couple weeks ago. And they're like, oh, I'll just leave them at school because I'm a kid and I don't think things through. And so I've been up since like 1:30. I came back to bed and just it was at that point where your brain just is not willing to shut off. And then we had like one big loud thunderclap as like I was kind of drifting off and then just like, boom, just like, God damn it. Really, world. Like, I can't even get 8 hours of sleep right now.
So would you say it was thunder and lightning? That's very, very frightening.
I'm more like thunder and lightning and baby said, dance, magic, dance.
Very nice.
Before we go any further and get into our promo, I do also want to say a very happy belated International Transgender Day of Visibility. There's some controversy this year. It's a day that has been recognized nationally for about 15 years now. It has always been celebrated and acknowledged on March 31st. And this year, it just so happens to fall on the same day as Easter. And some self-proclaimed Christians have decided that this is an affront to them. And it's something that has been done intentionally, which I guess 15 years of a slow burn plan finally came to fruition.
Oh, so wait, this was a plan, a moving date that falls either in mid-March to late April. They just picked one and hope for the best.
Because, I mean, I say this as someone that considers themselves a church going person. And it's we celebrate Easter because we stole it from pagans for their fertility celebration, hence Easter eggs and whatnot. But yes, the people who are just asking to be treated like human beings are the ones who are being selfish and rude.
How dare you suggest that? We all know that it was on December 25th, a long time ago, during the pagan Roman holidays of Saturnalia, that the Christ was born, which makes complete sense because...
pure coincidence.
The shepherds were out in the pasture with their sheep in the middle of December when it's snowing. I heard about that outcry and I was just like, two things can happen at the same time, man. You know, I mean, there has been a lot of movement with some of the not doctrines or demographics, but some of the sex and stuff like that of more open and inclusiveness and a reevaluation of the actual teachings of where, you know, where Christ met everybody. And who's to say that you can't all go to church and brunch together? These things are not exclusive, removed from each other.
It's a very controversial take, but I do believe the guy who became a zombie on the same day this year as we celebrate and acknowledge International Transgender Day of Visibility, he said, love one another.
A little bit.
Like, I mean, I guess it's a little ambiguous. But I take it to mean everyone's awesome. You should be cool to them and they can be cool to you. So that's kind of my take.
I agree.
But moving on into more fun things, the day after this episode drops, Thursday, April 4th, Slade and I, Slade Archibald and I were on an episode of The Cultworthy, and we are kicking off Animation April 1 once again.
Yeah.
We have three awesome anime movies to talk about, and if you want to see this lovely face, Antonio has been focusing more on his video podcasting. Ooh. So Slade, Antonio, and I will be visually on a podcast on YouTube, or you can just download it on your favorite podcatcher. But after the episode drops, I will update this episode description to have the link in there So if you wanted to go listen to that episode, it will be on our feed as of like midday Thursday. So if you're listening to this on our drop day on Wednesday, come back tomorrow and the episode description will have that episode in there a little later. But very fun conversation. Always good to connect with Slade and Antonio. And I have already picked out my Animation April movie for next year as well, because I was trying to figure out a musical to get Antonio to listen to, because he's not a big fan of musicals. And I found one and we're going to do it.
Nice. So quick question about this video podcast that you did. You make sure to get a good ring light so you have that like ring circle in your eyes?
You clearly don't pay attention because I have it here. It's just, it's above me. It's not eye level with me because we don't do video. I do want to find a way to get us to do video, like even if it's a VTuber thing, so we can have our avatars, but it's something that's way down the line, if even never happening, because other things are priority.
I'm going to ask just one thing about it because I want you to get ahead of the feedback. So what is your moisturizer regimen?
Harry's body wash in the shower and some Gold Bond in the morning after the shower.
All right, everyone, you heard that. If you want that glistening, beautiful skin, that youthful tauntness,
that oily skin that I have going on here, that youthful teenage oil that is constantly going on in my almost 40-year-old face. All right, well, let's get moving on here. We're going to talk about Godzilla Kong, the New Empire. But before we do that, we're going to hear from our buddy Caesar at the No On 15 All Cast. We'll be right back.
So, what's our show about? It's about some dudes talking about movies, just like this.
With Goofy screaming with the So
you're talking that they should have replaced it like with a Tom and Jerry scream or something like that?
Tom and Jerry scream.
Or you might hear something like this.
Oh my gosh.
That whole movie waiting to see what happens with Blanca is like the most aggravating thing in that film.
But for the most part, we talk movies from the 80s, 90s, and today. And if you grace us with your ear time, you might hear one of these 30-second gems like this.
Yeah, I was going to say, I did not get a chance to watch this one this week.
Give it to him anyways. We're going to give it to Ebert anyway. You ready?
I'm going to give you the 30-second review of Tron Uprising.
All right. Start the clock.
So give us a shot and listen to the No On 15 Allcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. No!
So, Alex.
Yeah, what's up?
I know I've already spoiled what we're talking about, but I have to point this out because it bears repeating and it bears being acknowledged. So, this week we are reviewing a movie that has the word Empire in the title, features product placement from Cheetos.
Yes.
And also features a third act that has a beach getting frozen over in a place and a time where you normally would not see a beach getting frozen over. Are we talking about Ghostbusters 4, 5, or 6? No, we are talking about Godzilla Kong, the New Empire, brought to you by Cheetos and Volkswagen.
Oh my gosh. When they did that side cut of Rebecca Hall's character letting in the daughter into the car, and they cut to the side where it's prominent Volkswagen, I heard my wife go, "Great." It was so great.
So Slimer loves Cheetos and all of the underlings in Monarch love Cheetos. Another thing that just these movies have in common. And I took more out of that than I did this movie, honestly. My rating right off the bat is watch Godzilla versus Kong. It's a better movie. I will say that people are going to compare this movie to Godzilla Minus One. And that is like comparing Titanic to Speed 2 Cruise Control. They're very different movies trying to do very different things. Also, one is really, really damn good. The other is not.
I was really hoping you were going to screw with us and be like, one is really damn good. The other is Titanic. The only thing I remember about Speed 2 Cruise Control, it was like the second or third movie that year that featured a jet ski inside of a boat.
I didn't even remember Willem Dafoe was the bad guy in that movie until I saw it on TV like 5 years ago. And I was just like, Speed 2 Cruise Control? Why is that even on TV in the year of our Lord 2017 or whatever year it is?
Yeah, it's like remembering suddenly that Christopher Eccleston, the Ninth Doctor, is the bad guy from Gone in 60 Seconds. It's like,
yes, oh, yeah. I watched that like late last year and I was like, holy shit. I wonder how much he hated this movie.
He's getting cranky.
I'm pretty sure he hates everything he does. He's just like, this is just a paycheck. I'm not here to be your friend. This is just money for me.
Why am I here? I don't understand. I should be acting.
Look at my ears. They're ginormous. I was Destro in G.I. Joe. How dare you make me come down for this?
I remember when I was much younger thinking Gone in 60 Seconds is amazing. You have the cars and the thing and the bad guys and they're stealing stuff and it's so cool. You have to put the crew together. And then you actually watch it now, like as an adult, and I'm like, there is absolutely no chemistry between Angelina Jolie and him.
No, the movie is carried simply by Nick Cage. Like, there's nothing else about that movie that works. It's Nick Cage's enthusiasm for the role and for acting.
Yeah, when they're like getting it on in the car, like I was 80% sure that he was actually trying to move her so he could do the car. Because he strokes it and talks about it and loves on it in a way that he does not do with her.
I mean, she's got those bad dreadlocks, kind of like Charlize Theron in one of the Fast and the Furious movies. Like, it's just not a good look.
No.
But we're talking Godzilla Kong. We clearly have things to say. Among other things, this movie hates ginger kids.
Oh. I mean, don't we all?
It's just another example of ginger erasure and just stereotyping gingers. Because, dear God, that little son of Kong that's not his son Zuko. Is just like they made him a ginger because they wanted you to hate him early on. I almost guarantee it. If he was like a gray like Kong, we were like, yeah, he's your little buddy. He's your little son. He's gonna be your adopted son. But no, because he's got the ginger hair, we're like, fuck that little stepchild man.
I mean, if the introduction involves Kong like being emotional, looking at him, going like, oh, there's another me finally after all these years of looking, and then he bites me, set up a trap with some older Kongs, and then he picks him up and uses him to beat the other Kongs for a good 5 or 6 slaps before chucking him his body. He's alive, but still chucking him like away into a wall. And I'm like, oh wow, so we got patricide really quickly. Oh, he's alive.
I will say that was probably my favorite part of this movie was the uncle nephew dynamic with those two, where it's Uncle Buck. I mean, that's the best thing I can say is it's Uncle Buck, where Macaulay Culkin is Baby Kong, which apparently his name is Zuko.
Yep, Zuko.
Which we only find that out through merchandising. It's like the Ewoks.
Merchandising.
Movie. Yeah, we only find it out through other mediums that this thing has a name. There are a lot of memes and spoilers going around with their relationship, and I'm okay with it because those are the best part of this movie. But I will give credit to this movie because there is a lot of really good animated face acting going on.
Amazing.
So like when Kong's chomping down on his squid monster dinner and Zuko is like, I'm so hungry. Kong like chucks him a piece and he's just like, what the heck are you doing? I don't know you. Why are you giving me food? Like, we see the emotional trauma he's endured, and they do a really good job of making you empathize with him after so long. And it just works with the way they've animated these characters. Cause like Kong, they do really good facial expressions with him. Zuko has really good facial expressions, but this is the second time this year that there is gimmick infringement on my person. They even spelled his name with a K.
I know. I saw it and I was like, where's our lawyer? We need to get after them. The bad guy's name is the Scar King. I'm like,
I'm just like, yes, peasants, please acknowledge me.
So I will give credit to this film in that we're, you know, talking about the facial expressions. There is entire sequences where it's just Kong finding out about these other Kongs and this society locked away by Scar King. And you see they do fantastic job with like the aging of the apes, some of their balding and gray. You see the scarification all over them, not you, but you know, their scars. And yeah, and they linger and let you hear the whole dynamics going on with like the Scar King, of course, is doing like the Slouch of Evil on his throne. He's got this badass weapon. You see Kong realizing that this person's evil, and why are these people subjugated? These are my kind. What is going on here? And they don't dub it or anything. I mean, you know, put some subtitles. They just let it play out. And I like that.
It's all
that
nonverbal body acting that I don't know if they did mocap for it, or if it was just purely animated. Either way, like, they did a fantastic job with it. Like, this is almost Planet of the Apes level stuff, other than like the refinement in how great the CGI is. Like, this is very much an animated movie. This is kind of like Roger Rabbit, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's an animated movie that throws people on top of it.
It's completely
the Mr. Limpet. Is that the other one?
Maybe. I know there's Cool City with the Brad Pitt one.
Oh yeah, that's probably a better example. More people have probably seen that one. More people who listen to this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yes, The Incredible Mr. Limpet, 1964. Oh, that's right. Don Knotts.
Yes.
Holy crap.
But this movie is all about Kong, and mm-hmm. even Dan Stevens.
Trevor.
Dan Stevens, who plays Trapper, is probably the only other highlight of the Trapper. Yes, thank you. Yeah. Trevor was last week in the other movie with Cheetos and Empire and Frozen Beach. Trapper, Dan Stevens has upgraded significantly from Beauty and the Beast to this role, and he is having the time of his life. Although this is the movie where you turn your brain off and you just go with the flow. But there's one thing with him that I can't, like, how the heck does he know how to fly that thing? And why is he authorized to fly it? He's a kaiju vet. And why is he authorized to fly a Monarch plane?
Okay, so you're offended that he's authorized to fly a Monarch plane. You're in no way offended that apparently he's a veterinarian that decided to specialize in kaiju and has figured out how to do dental work on Kong because they call him and he has a whole flying contraption and just happens to have laying around.
Ready to go.
The perfect fang that's made out of some kind of like high density metal that can cut through the Empire's Eiffel Tower if you want to chew on it. And he yanks out Kong's tooth, puts an implant in, and is like, it's good.
I love the fact that, yes, we get the gauntlet for Kong's hand to get us the new toy. That was like the thing that got us the new toy. It's like, oh, he's got a yellow thing on his hand now. It's not the same model.
No, of course not.
It's not the same mold at all. But to also give him a different tooth, just to make sure that we know that these action figures are differentiated from the previous movie, you gotta love the lack of trying in that kind of gesture. Because you know there's going to be a variant Funko Pop where it's Kong without the gauntlet, but he's got that false tooth in.
Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, Funko Pop 1783. Kong metal tooth, and then you have like 87, you know, which is going to be tooth with punchy glove.
Yes. And then there's going to be 1993 where it's going to be frostbite hand with dead tooth. Or there's going to be dead tooth one as well.
Don't forget, we're going to have at least three Funkos of Scar King. We're going to have one with him with just his whip. Then you have to have whip with that Kong's axe that he steals.
Axe, yep.
And then you have Kong, and then you have Whip and Missing Tooth when Kong punches out a tooth to get back at him.
Then there's also going to be the ride, because one of the things you and I had discussed, which we're, if you haven't figured this out already, we're going full spoilers, because among other things, you have seen this movie.
If you haven't seen this movie, you have seen this movie.
Everything that is worthwhile talking about in this movie, besides the relationship building between Kong and Zuko, I was going to call him Simu, that's the different guy, Zuko, you've seen this movie. All the highlights from this movie are in the trailers.
Oh, yeah.
Someone did a breakdown of all the screen time that like Godzilla has had over the course of the four or five movies they've done. And in this one, it's his least amount of screen time in 8 minutes on a nearly 2 hour movie.
Mm-hmm.
And all of his stuff is Godzilla's entire storyline is I need to power up. That's his motivation, is he's just going to absorb everyone's nuclear essence so he can power up.
Godzilla's entire arc in this thing is I eat a few things. Now, mind you, I am a sucker for adorableness. And that Godzilla, after beating up a giant crab, decided to curl up in the Roman Colosseum and take a long nap.
That's his now.
That's his little bowl. Because you know what? That's what my cats do. If there's something circular in this house, they curl up in it and nap, and it is now theirs.
Yep. I love that he goes back to it after the big fight. Like the movie best. Is done. And he's just like, all right, this is mine now. My bad.
No, yeah, it's crazy. Because he goes to France, takes out a nuclear facility, sucks up all the stuff, goes into the Arctic, beats up poor Tiamat, sucks up all her stuff, goes to Egypt, goes to Hollow Earth. And after he's done, what does he want to do? Nap time. Oh,
nap
wait.
Time
he's
going to see him.
Sorry. Goes to Rio de Janeiro. what does he want to do? I like Italy. You know, there's this nice little bowl. It's about 60 miles.
He read Eat, Pray, Love.
Exactly. I mean, he probably still has some crab there.
That's true.
Because that Muto was just a stupid crab. They didn't put any effort into that.
No, they didn't put any effort into any of them, really. Like, there's not... Tiamat wasn't bad, but it was the Frozen Empire eel ghost that we see at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, it's true. But they leaned over and went, hey, dude, Ghostbusters, what are you doing? Eel ghost? Copy, paste, legs, add legs.
Give me little frills.
Gotta have sexy frills, because we gotta make sure that that Godzilla shoots atomic breath. This is gonna shoot cold breath. We gotta have frills.
In our group chat, we were talking about how I think I was watching the NCAA tournament. And there was a TV spot where we see the moment where Kong like pitches the Scar King at Godzilla, and Godzilla tail whips him for a home run. And oh, yeah. I was just like, why are you undermining your villain like this in a TV spot? Like, I know it's a cool shot that probably someone was like, yeah, that's the stuff.
Yeah.
But you're making your villain look like a complete asshole, like not in a good way. You're just undermining the threat of the villain by showing this moment from the final fight, because obviously they're teaming up in the finale. Like there's
oh yeah,
it's gonna be Godzilla and Godzilla, or it's gonna be Kong centric, and Godzilla is gonna be the reason why the tide turns and they win. And so the idea that they would go in and show that shot, especially where it's very clearly that they have gotten the upper hand on this guy, because in any other moment, you're not going to be able to pitch him and hit a home run off of Godzilla's tail with it.
No,
you're not going to do that in any other moment other than when they finally have the upper hand.
Yeah.
So with that, you're just killing any idea of this guy's a threat.
Right.
And that's where I say Godzilla versus Kong is a better movie, because they did a really good job of setting up Godzilla is a powerhouse. Godzilla essentially wins all three rounds. The only reason he doesn't win round two is because he was not prepared for Kong to have the axe.
Right.
Then when Mechagodzilla shows up, Godzilla has no answer for it until Kong shows up and is able to use his tools to help out. And even then, like, it is, they do a really good job of being like, what are they going to do to make this work in their favor and win? This mm-hmm. one, it's just like, obviously I'm not going to spoil everything because I do think there, if you are going to see this, I don't want to spoil it, but there's obviously a thing that's going to turn the tide, and they set it up really obviously. There's no nuance to this movie.
No,
they even lay out like the entire backstory in a big exposition dump that takes like 10 minutes. But like that's where my problem is with this movie, is that it's, you're setting up another team up moment with Kong and Godzilla, but you're not really doing a very good job of justifying it, because Godzilla is spending the entire movie powering up and Kong's just essentially there. Like, it, unless the Scar King doesn't have the extra thing that he has, what, Godzilla could just destroy him easily.
Right. That looks like the end fight. I was thinking, because of the secret thing, that this was a mid scene villain or something like that, or like kind of like a herald kind of thing. Like, this is the lieutenant of the bad guy.
This is the Silver Surfer to the Galactus level.
Yeah.
Boss, which I was like, that makes sense. That would explain why they're showing this guy getting hit out of the park.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, okay, they're fighting this guy, but there's actually something else coming, and then they have to really team up. You know, maybe they learn to fight with each other, this guy, so that they can then, like, all right, now they have to.
What I would not have given to have a Godzilla Kong training montage like they had in the Marvels.
That would be great. You have Jai there, and she's just like, okay, Kong, he wants you to do this. Work together.
So what you're gonna do is you gotta the power comes from your hips. It doesn't come from the arm. You gotta get it in the hips so you can get good distance and velocity on it. And then he's gonna whip his butt around, and that tail is gonna go flying. And if you get good velocity on it, he's gonna go flying out of the city, and it's gonna be a home run for everyone. Exactly. Fireworks are gonna go off. They're gonna play Chariots of Fire. It'll be the best day ever.
You have like an end game moment where Godzilla picks up the axe, and Kong, you can see him go, I knew he was worthy.
He just does a little, like, I knew it.
Exactly. Hey, at least we're going to see Kong ride Godzilla briefly.
Very briefly. Like, that was clearly just something they did for the trailer. Like, we only needed to be a second, because,
oh yeah,
also Kong's grown up a little bit. We've left Godzilla roughly the same size, so if he rides him for longer than a second, Godzilla's just gonna topple over and it's gonna look weird.
This is a Kong movie. They focus on him, his relationship with the Scar King, all that stuff. It is purely focused on him, because Godzilla, I mean, that's the sort of thing, is he levels up a few times, and
he's grinding the entire movie.
Did you notice that after he absorbed like Tiamat and they like were scanning him, they had like video game stats listed as Monarch was standing? Yes. Yeah, it's like, oh my god, his energy capacity has absorbed by 20%.
I'm like, it's over 9,000.
It's just like, I'm like, really? This is what Monarch does for fun? They like, oh, we're gonna stat this. Okay.
We need Camille Nanjiani in here right now.
Yeah, I mean, even they talk of even like the Monarch people briefly talk about, like, oh man, you know, Kong, last time he went up with Godzilla, he couldn't take him. He almost lost his life. He's not going to stand this time. And then you get the, you know, that epic line of, they don't have to like each other. They just have to work together.
Lethal weapon.
Exactly. But, oh crap, I actually completely lost my thought.
That's okay. Screw it. I will say, they did the final act better than Batman v Superman.
Yes.
So
just not a hard thing to stretch.
No, it's not, but it's essentially the same, but they did it better, because in this movie, Kong is Superman, which you would think power level wise it's not, but Kong is Superman. He has something he needs to get across to Batman / Godzilla.
Right.
Godzilla has gone through CrossFit, and he has a new suit that he is ready to go. And he is just like, do not come in here. I will mess you up if you mess with me. And so when Kong is like, hey, he literally puts his hand out like, no, man, no, seriously, no, I just need to talk. I just have something to say. No, please, no. And Godzilla's like, I don't care. And he just charges him, and it, like Batman v Superman. And then Godzilla's just like, all right, fine, screw it, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. And then he doesn't, because Godzilla is overpowered, or in Batman v Superman's case, Superman's an idiot and he catches a canister of kryptonite gas twice. So like, again, Kong is just getting his butt whooped where Superman and Batman v Superman is an idiot. Then we have a Deus Ex Machina moment where
mom comes essentially and
someone
up.
Shows up.
I said someone mom. Shows up.
Martha shows up. Martha shows up. And she's just like, hey, knock it off. You guys need to work together. And Godzilla's like, oh, cool. And then they team up and they beat the bad guy.
I did remember now. So
we do kind of need to talk about Martha.
Okay. We'll get there in a second. I was remembering, like, yes, I love adorable Godzilla, but I also love that Godzilla, they, even though Cairo and the Strait of Gibraltar are nowhere near each other, Kong like roars to get Godzilla's attention. Godzilla climbs up the Strait of Gibraltar, roars, and while he's roaring, does this beautiful swan dive into the water. And as he hits the water, you hear that little ripple of like his ending roar thing. I was like, okay, that was actually kind of badass. Like,
I did like the wave coming at the camera too, because it's like he just created a tidal wave that's going to kill hundreds of thousands of people probably.
Oh yeah, and I love his lack of give a fuck. Like when he's walking through Rome, just destroying everything, but then he's swimming up the Nile to get to the pyramids, and he could go lower. He
destroys the Parthenon without hesitation.
Exactly, it destroys every bridge with his ridges. Causing a tidal wave over all the waterways. I love
the fact that the animators as well did not care at all. Like they intentionally did it where he's swimming, his ridges are cracking through every bridge, and the minute he hits the last bridge, he then does a dive deeper.
Exactly. He's like, oh man, I think six, seven times like, something hit me. I'll go a little lower.
That's at least seven bridges, I think. Yeah, I think that's the quota for the day. So now we can go a little lower.
And during that fight where Godzilla just is like, I mean, Kong's like, listen, dude, I just want to talk. As you said, we get a great
facial animation. He's just like, no, guys, really, like he's pulling like his biggest Zachary Levi, like no face.
He decides to destroy the Great Pyramids, which is fine. But I do love we get a Hulkbuster moment of that power glove just repeatedly punching Godzilla in the face. And you see like the weird looks and like, I swear. You could see his eyes roll back and like tilt, like, you know, like the tilt. I'm done. Momthra does show up to break up the kids.
Marthra. Yeah. Which that's the entire human plot line is to exposition dump and summon Mothra one more time. Because it turns out that Jai is her name.
Yeah.
The deaf girl from the previous movie, who is the last of her people, the Iwu. She is destined to, or prophesied to resurrect Mothra, because who cares? Like there's no explanation. Like the last time we saw Mothra, it was a larva. She was a larva and she grew.
Mm-hmm.
This time she just appears out of dust, just magic Iwu gravity dust.
Because and she's mom. I'm sorry. I love Mothra.
No, I mean, yeah, I get that, and it's a Godzilla lore moment, but the fact that she literally is the reason why the fight stops between Godzilla and Kong is so poetically beautiful to the Batman v Superman nonsense that they're doing, because she just shows up and screeches at them, and they're like, yes, mom, sorry, mom.
Well, yeah, I mean, she does her wing buff and knocks him out, and then, yeah, I love that anytime Mothra is on the screen, they give her just the most beautiful angelic glow.
So much reverence. Like it's Ghostbusters levels of reverence when it comes to Mothra on screen.
And then she helps out in the fight by webbing the shit out of everybody. Because she's mom.
She puts them in timeout.
Exactly. Stop fighting. Mom's here. Stop being assholes. Because even Godzilla respects mom. This movie was silly.
it's so silly. But I think the problem I have with this movie is that, again, comparing it to the movie you should compare it to, which is Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah.
Godzilla versus Kong did the spectacle really well. Like, it's nonsense, and it makes it just, it works because it's ridiculous. Same with this movie. But this movie doesn't do anything spectacular, in my opinion. Like, there are, I think, two or three shots in Godzilla versus Kong where the humans are like in a shuttle and you like go flying in front of them to kind of get that sense of scale and put them in a little bit of danger. And they look really good. And there's just like that moment of like, yes, that's like the Universal backlot tour. Like, just little moments that it puts the humans in an interesting space. Where in this one, the humans are never in an interesting space and they're never really in danger. They're just there to inform the audience of the plot. And then everything else is very like, it's very Marvel in certain aspects. Cause like, there's nothing that is very unique about the shots from this movie. There's a moment where Kong literally does the Loki Hulk smash moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because he's beating up a little ginger stepchild, but it's nothing that we haven't seen before. And I think that's part of the problem with this movie is that they've set up this wonderful opportunity and they just went very generic and safe with a lot of it.
I can agree with all of that because I will go back to this movie and I'll watch sequences, but it is the same problem that they've had throughout, I would say, every Godzilla movie. Kong isn't necessarily a problem because Kong, I think, has a much narrower movie catalog to go back to. But by making Kong 300 feet tall and Godzilla like 500 feet, they still have to focus on what is the most sympathetic or person, which is Kong. But even then, the human element has never been that strong. Throughout most of the Godzilla movies, Godzilla is a metaphor for whatever it is that they're trying to get through at that time. And then they go like really silly with a lot of the King of the Monster stuff and Mothra and Son of Godzilla and all that stuff. And, you know, kind of lost its way. They're fun and cheesy, but you know, you see what they're doing and then he has to go and save the day kind of thing. But these, they've never firmly established what it is that the hell that Monarch is supposed to be doing, because having now watched the Monarch TV show and then watching, you know, this one, what happened to the time dilation bullshit?
Well, remember, we got a Screen Rant article sent to us by Raphael from Geeky Dad.
Oh, right.
It's not the Hollow Earth. It's the Nexus or whatever they call it. It's a world between worlds between worlds.
But then this one had a world between worlds between worlds, too, because uncharted territory open thing.
It's uncharted territory within the Hollow Earth, though.
Yeah, but then there's like some kind of like camouflage thingy hiding crap.
That's just the Iwu people camouflaging themselves so they can hide there until the prophecy needs to be done, like till they need to resurrect and summon Mothra again. It's not anything that's outside of the Hollow Earth. It's just hidden within the Hollow Earth.
Okay, why five movies in do I still not understand what the hell the Hollow Earth conspiracy is?
Well, didn't they only just unveil the Hollow Earth with Godzilla versus Kong?
Yeah, but
well, they acknowledged Hollow Earth, or at least they hypothesized it in King of Monsters.
Yeah, because
he's using tunnels to like swim through.
The swimming tunnels.
They never go into the Hollow Earth. They're like, oh, the Hollow Earth is real, but this is just like beyond ancient Mayan ruins that Godzilla is sleeping in, and we're gonna nuke him now so he can supercharge.
Right. I don't understand it.
it doesn't need to be understood.
Apparently, for all I need to understand about this movie right now is Godzilla rules the surface, Kong rules Hollow Earth, and thankfully Kong, they established that there's female Kongs there, so he's finally gonna be able to get it on.
That must have been some kind of hell without a female Kong or anyone that you can just get along with. I will say the most disappointing thing in this movie for me, which I it's hard to say anything is disappointing. This movie does exactly what you expect it to do. But there is one disappointing moment where we establish that there's one guy in Monarch who's going on this mission with the humans who is very pro-capitalist, and he's like, why wouldn't we want private corporations taking over and doing our jobs and paying us well and letting us retire? And everyone's like, you're stupid. That's dumb. You're dumb. Shut up. And the minute he says that, I'm like, okay, this guy's dying. Like, he's either going to betray them because he's already doing something on the side with like Apex, or something's happening with this guy and he's going to be dead.
Oh yeah.
And they just unceremoniously kill him off without any indication, where they're just standing around and Ace Ventura, Pet Dan Stevens is like, something smells like death. We should maybe go the other way. And this guy just like out of nowhere is like, no, I have space madness and we need to keep going, cause I'm the one with the gun and we're going to keep going. And now I've been eaten by something. Bye.
The podcasting guy, Bernie Hayes. Is it
Brian Henry Tyree?
Yeah.
Brian.
Honest to God, if he had not actually had that random meet cute exposition moment with Rebecca Hall's character, Dr. Andrews, where he's like, oh yeah, you cut your hair and added some highlights, I would not have remembered she was in the last movie. I remember him.
She has a very unique looking face, but yeah, she looks better with the short hair. Like, I don't like the pixie cut on everyone, but
yeah,
it looks good on her.
Cause I was trying to like look in the background, like, how many people have actually come back film to film? I know Ken Watanabe did a few. Like,
whatever happened to his assistant that he left in charge after King of the Monsters? Like, she just vanished too.
She's gone. They brought back the conspiracy theorist guy. They brought back Ajay. And I honestly don't know. All I know is I had a lot of fun. This was dumb and cute and it was silly. And I have learned that I am never going to a major city that is near a body of water anytime soon, because it's going to freeze over. And I'm very confused. I thought that when it was like summer up here, it was winter in the southern hemisphere. But after watching last week, Frozen Empire, it was summer in New York. And now it's summer in Rio de Janeiro, because you can never show winter there because you have to have a lot of bikini shots.
You just reminded me. This movie does the very stereotypical thing with the city of Miami. And no, it's not playing Will Smith's Miami. Did you notice that they put the CSI Miami filter over lens?
Yeah,
or it's on orange. The frame, at least, when mm-hmm. they're like, hey, Miami. And now everything's orange.
Oh, yeah. Miami, everything's orange. When they go to the Arctic, of course, everything's blue. When you go to Rio de Janeiro, it's summer and there's bikinis everywhere. This movie
heavy greens, heavy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to show Christ the Redeemer like three or four times. At least I appreciate that they didn't pull the Marvel location font of like the 7,000 point font in black on the screen that says Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
I do feel like the only city that they showed that needed us to know what city it was Miami.
Yes.
Miami is a nondescript city. Like, that could have been anywhere, metropolitan, southern. That could have been California. That could have been Florida. That could have been Texas. Like, probably not Texas. There's too much green. But like, it's not necessary. People are smart enough to be like, and you can even just say like, oh, Godzilla's in Paris. Godzilla's here. And you don't need the subtitle. It's fine. Especially when you go, Godzilla's heading to Paris, and then you cut to Paris and you do the subtitle Paris.
I did love that when they said like Godzilla's on the move, going, he leaves his little cat bowl and he walks away and he goes to France. All of a sudden everyone's just speaking French, which is expected, but Monarch apparently has people on the ground, native locals on the ground in every country. It's fun. I can't hate it. I enjoyed it. When the credits started, there was a few people clapping. You know, I chuckled a bit. I'm like, that was just, I mean, they don't even take themselves seriously, because the second Kong gets his arm hurt, they're like, Operation Power Transformer 75.
Powerhouse, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, and so quick expedition dump of like, of Dr. Andrews, like, oh yeah, this. Thankfully, it's already down here.
Yeah, we built Kong a turbo loader suit from Alien, but we only have the arm completed, so we can do that. Thankfully, it's the right hand, which is what we needed.
And it already has like antibiotics ready to go in it for the installation. you can't hate it.
I don't hate it. I just Godzilla versus Kong, I think, is more fun. And I think it narratively, it holds up a little bit better.
Yeah. My thing about it is that, like, yeah, Godzilla minus one, picture of the year.
Completely different ballpark of a movie.
Brilliant with what they were doing and saying in that film. This was made to have fun. It was made for you, to your inner child, to just look around, giggle, and smash your toys together and knock over crap. And that's exactly what they did. Screw, you know, how many people are dying left and right in all these cities. All these people in France who no longer have power because Godzilla destroyed the station. But at least he drank all the radiation, so there's, you know, there's not going to be fallout. And you know what? They tried to bring about a second ice age, and Godzilla just shot the sky and made it better
with his pink laser energy.
Exactly.
There is a frame of thought going around where people are rightfully saying Godzilla can be Godzilla minus one. Godzilla can be Godzilla Kong, the new empire. Godzilla can and should be both. I agree 100%, which is why I said at the top of this, I'm not going to compare this to Godzilla minus one, because that's comparing. A better comparison would be like the early 2000s Poseidon Adventure to Speed 2 Cruise Control. They're very similar in terms of quality and what they offer the viewer, but you're not going to go like, oh man, now I need to go watch Titanic after that, because it just made me feel those things. Like, it's, you're not meant to feel the same thing with those movies. So it's not a fair comparison. And just because it shares a similar feature of Godzilla in these movies does not mean they are on the same level of quality. But Godzilla is the most versatile actor in the world. He can do whatever he needs to do. Mm-hmm. He can play basketball with Charles Barkley.
He can dunk.
He can team up with the Power Rangers, which that's a very fun comic, but maybe one of the grossest looking comics I've seen in a long time, because it's animated like it's from the 1990s. So everyone's like super muscular. And like, I think it's an intentional thing to like show how like monstrously awesome the Power Rangers are. Mm-hmm. I think it looks gross. Like, the Power Rangers can be smooth. It's fine. Yeah. They don't need six pack abs showing every time.
Nah, it's just fun.
Yeah. And you can have fun. And I think this movie, for the most part, was a lot of fun, and I think there are some good things to take out of it. But unfortunately, I'm still going to say it's a pass. Only because, again, you could watch Godzilla versus Kong, and I think it's more fun.
Okay.
Although this movie does not do anything that I absolutely hate, which Godzilla versus Kong did, which is having the Hunt for the Wilder People kid from Deadpool 2. they had the whole thing where we see Mechagodzilla for the first time, and the podcasting guy is like, they built a Robo Godzilla. And then Deadpool 2 kid is like, no, that's a Mechagodzilla. Like, shut the hell up, man. Shut up. Shut up. I don't need you to name drop this. Shut up.
It's a must see for me. I had fun. My wife and I had fun. It was exactly what you expect from an American Godzilla film. It's a palate cleanser. There's not a real story. A lot of people were giggling and smashing together toys and went like, that looks like fun. You know, that's all it was. And it's great. And you know what? Bring on, you know, I mean, this was Godzilla X Kong. Bring on Godzilla Y Kong. You know, let's just get this going.
Such a stupid joke, but it worked.
I only bat like 20%, and yeah, that was a good one.
You're lucky this movie put us in a good headspace for stupidity. All right, man. I think it's a good place to call it a night. We're a little under our 60 minutes, but I mean, we also watched a movie that's almost 2 hours long that they put in a 2.5 minute trailer where you saw everything you needed to see. So
exactly.
Alex, let everyone know about our Discord.
If you want to let us know why apparently Godzilla Minus One is in fact the worst film than this one, join our Discord. It's T-Smack Pod, and we can just tell you how wrong you are. Godzilla Minus One is near damn perfection. And I'm still calling you out, Justin, from the Movie Wire, that you didn't have this that as your film of the year. And therefore, wasn't your favorite film. It is the worst film ever. That is the internet's rating. So you join our Discord and you let us know why Justin's wrong.
Because he doesn't have his own Discord. We should make a Movie Wire Discord just so that you can have a chat with yourself.
I will.
Not a Movie Wire Discord, a Movie Wire channel within our Discord. You can follow us at Talking Smack Pod on all of our social media platforms, which is Blue Sky, Instagram, Threads, Hive, Social Post, News, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, and Lonnie's website. Don't forget to email us your Talking Smackdown suggestions at tsmackpod@gmail.com to get entered in for our sweepstakes to win a copy, a Steam copy of Marvel Midnight Suns. Thank you to Leo Allen for musical themes. Alex, who's doing the remix?
Dan Stevens, because as we found out, he has an amazing playlist.
Thank you to Beppo for our original avatars, Retro Ale Studios for our Ricky avatar. Please like, subscribe, rate, review on your podcatcher of choice, which again, all you have to do to leave a review is let us know if you would rather listen to this or watch Madam Web. And most importantly, Alex, thank you so much for being here, taking the time to sit through a pretty fun action figure smashing movie. And thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen. Please take care. Trans rights are human rights.
Yes.
Watch Star Trek.
That podcast is filling your head with garbage. You should be in school.